June 28.
My dearest Barbara Alexeyevna, away with melancholy. Really, beloved, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. How can you allow such thoughts to enter your head? Really and truly, you are quite well. Really and truly, you are, my darling. Why, you are blooming, simply blooming. True, I see a certain touch of pallor in your face, but still you are blooming, a fig for dreams and visions. Yes, for shame, dearest. Drive away those fancies. Try to despise them. Why do I sleep so well? Why am I never ailing? Look at me, beloved. I live well. I sleep peacefully. I retain my health. I can ruffle it with my juniors. In fact, it is a pleasure to see me. Come, come then, sweetheart. Let us have no more of this. I know that that little head of yours is capable of any fancy, that all too easily you take to dreaming and repining, but for my sake, cease to do so. Are you to go to these people, you ask me? Never. No, no, again, no. How could you think of doing such a thing as taking a journey? I will not allow it. I intend to combat your intention with all my might. I will sell my frock coat and walk the streets in my shirt sleeves rather than let you be in want. But no, Barbara. I know you. I know you. This is merely a trick. Merely a trick. And probably Theodora alone is to blame for it. She appears to be a foolish old woman, and to be able to persuade you to do anything. Do not believe her, my dearest. I'm sure that you know what is what as well as she does. Eh, sweetheart? She is a stupid, quarrelsome, rubbish-talking old woman who brought her late husband to the grave. Probably she has been plaguing you as much as she did him. No, no, dearest, you must not take this step. What should I do, then? What would there be left for me to do? Pray, put the idea out of your head. What is it you lack here? I cannot feel sufficiently overjoyed to be near you, while for your part you love me well, and can live your life here as quietly as you wish. Read or sew, whichever you like, or read and do not sew, only do not desert me. Try yourself to imagine how things would seem after you had gone. Here am I, sending you books, and later we will go for a walk. Come, come then, my Barbara. Summon to your aid your reason, and cease to babble of trifles. As soon as I can, I will come and see you, and then you shall tell me the whole story. This will not do, sweetheart. This certainly will not do. Of course, I know that I am not an educated man, and have received but a sorry schooling, and have had no inclination for it, and think too much of Ratajeff, if you will, but he is my friend, and therefore I must put in a word or two for him. Yes, he is a splendid writer. Again and again I assert that he writes magnificently. I do not agree with you about his works, and never shall. He writes too ornately, too laconically, with too great a wealth of imagery and imagination. Perhaps you have read him without insight, Barbara, or perhaps you are out of spirits at the time, or angry with Theodora about something, or worried about some mischance. Ah, but you should read him sympathetically. And best of all, at a time when you are feeling happy and contented and pleasantly disposed. For instance, when you have a bonbon or two in your mouth. Yes, that is the way to read Ratajeff. I do not dispute, indeed, who would do so, that better writers than he exist, even far better. But they are good, and he is good too. They write well, and he writes well. It is chiefly for his own sake that he writes, and he is to be approved for so doing. Now, good-bye, dearest. More I cannot write, for I must hurry away to business. Be of good cheer, and the Lord God watch over you. Your faithful friend, Makar Dievushkin. P.S. Thank you so much for the book, darling. I will read it through, this volume of Pushkin, and tonight come to you.
My dear Makar Alexievich, no, my friend, I must not go on living near you. I have been thinking the matter over, and come to the conclusion that I should be doing very wrong to refuse so good a post. I should at least have an assured crust of bread. I might at least set to work to earn my employer's favour, and even try to change my character if required to do so. Of course, it is a sad and sorry thing to have to live among strangers, and to be forced to seek their patronage, and to conceal and constrain one's own personality, but God will help me. I must not remain forever a recluse, for similar chances have come my way before. I remember how, when a little girl at school, I used to go home on Sundays and spend the time in frisking and dancing about. Sometimes my mother would chide me for so doing, but I did not care, for my heart was too joyous and my spirits too buoyant for that. Yet, as the evening of Sunday came on, a sadness as of death would overtake me, for at 9 o'clock I had to return to school, where everything was cold and strange and severe, where the governesses on Mondays lost their tempers and nipped my ears and made me cry. On such occasions I would retire to a corner and weep alone, concealing my tears lest I should be called lazy. Yet it was not because I had to study that I used to weep. And in time I grew more used to things, and, after my school days were over, shed tears only when I was parting with friends. It is not right for me to live in dependence upon you. The thought tortures me. I tell you this frankly, for the reason that frankness with you has become a habit. Cannot I see that daily, at earliest dawn, Theodora rises to do washing and scrubbing, and remains working at it until late at night, even though her poor old bones must be aching for want of rest? Can I also see that you are ruining yourself for me, and hoarding your last kopeck, that you may spend it on my behalf? You ought not so to act, my friend, even though you write that you would rather sell your all than let me want for anything. I believe in you, my friend. I entirely believe in your good heart. But you say that to me now, when, perhaps, you have received some unexpected sum or gratuity, and there is still the future to be thought of. You yourself know that I am always ailing, that I cannot work as you do, glad though I should be of any work if I could get it. So what else is there for me to do? To sit and repine, as I watch you and Theodora? But how would that be of any use to you? Am I necessary to you, comrade of mine? Have I ever done you any good? Though I am bound to you with my whole soul, and love you dearly and strongly and wholeheartedly, a bitter fate has ordained that that love should be all that I have to give, that I should be unable, by creating for you subsistence, to repay you for all your kindness. Do not, therefore, detain me longer, but think the matter out, and give me your opinion on it, in expectation of which I remain your sweetheart, B.D.